What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Talk That Talk. I'm your host, Coach KB, Kari Bailey Smith. I wanted to talk to you guys today a little bit more about this podcast. So if you haven't been watching, we've been shooting episodes. We had college athletes come on as guests, and they talk their story. And they gave you guys some advice as high school athletes on what you can do to get to college when you're in college to actually maintain, and some things to think about as you move forward. Today, we're going to talk to somebody who has been to where we all dream of going. And I'm lucky to call him a friend, but I wanted you to take the time to make sure that if you're not already following and going back and looking at the other videos, then you go back and do that. You like, share, subscribe this with your friends, because there's going to be some real good information that they can use to continue on their journey and make tomorrow a better day. So with that being said, let me actually take off this hat, because we're going to shout out my barber, our sponsor for the day, Addie's Barbershop in Stoughton, Mass. Go check them out. They'll bring to you our segment that we'll talk about later called This or That. But today, our guest, like I said, he's a good friend of mine, high school phenom. I got the chance to actually play with him, but he was too good, so he had to go somewhere else. National champion, so many awards and accolades that I can't really remember them all, but I got to see him play in some of the biggest arenas. I'm proud to call him my friend again, former Division I athlete, NBA and overseas professional hooper, a father, coach, and mentor. My dog, Jared Terrell.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, man?
So, hey, man, same old.
Did anything I left off?
Yeah, but we don't got to talk about it enough.
All right, well, let's start with talking about just how we met. So, I think now it's going on
20?
Almost 20 years.
I was thinking about it earlier, yeah. Probably met 07, maybe 08.
Yeah, I think I met you in 08 because you went to the other middle school.
I did, but we played probably 1 year together.
Yep, and that was my second year, though, and so that was 08 year.
Yeah.
So 08, we played football together, and this man ended up going to the NBA. And it's like, I heard the buzz about you before I even actually got to meet you, like just being at the other middle school. Everyone was like, oh, this dude Jared's on my travel team. He's so nice.
It's crazy because I heard the same about you and I was just like, who is this dude? No, for real, like athletic, could jump out the gym. Like, yo, I never get the chance to meet him. But when we finally did, it was a click that first.
Yeah. You was just that like thing I heard about. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of going to look for the where the athletes were, where I could fit in, what I was comfortable with from coming from, you know what I mean? So the guys that I gravitated towards, they all just like looked at you as like one of those athletes who really had potential.
Yeah, ended up all being the same friend group if you look back on it. It was the same dude that we still kick it with now.
Still today. So 20 years later, just about 18 years, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But man, that's good stuff. So let's go back into your background. So we said I met you playing football, but what was like your first sport growing up?
First sport was definitely basketball. Yeah. My father, he got me into basketball really early, BNBL, Roxbury Y. So I was playing in those leagues early at a young age, and even playing up with my older brother. I always had to play up, and that was just kind of my dad's mentality behind it. Just get him in wherever he fits in and just try.
So your older brother is another story for another time. Yeah, like when I got to high school, that was another like ghost just chirping, because I played football and he was a football guy.
Exactly.
So everyone just had his name was ringing through the hallways. I didn't get a chance to like go to the games when I was first moved to Weymouth, you know, because my mom was like, oh, you're in the house. But once I actually got to high school and I got a chance to go, I watched that was his senior year when I got there.
Yep.
So I got to watch some of him play, and I was just like, yo, see him in the hallways, and he just had this charisma, and I was like, yo, that's like football, like high school football, you know? That's exactly what I envisioned it being like.
For sure.
So I wanted what he had in high school.
Now I'm pretty sure everybody did. He was just that guy in high school, just naturally talented. He had the it about him. And even at a young age, he had that. And that's what I admired about him. Probably the reason why I worked so hard was probably just subconsciously competing with him no matter where I was. Just had that in the back of my mind.
So, and that's your older brother. So my older brother didn't live in my household. So I was the oldest in my house, you know? So I was the one that tried to have to set that example.
Right.
So I was always looking for outside influence for something that I can like aspire to be greater than, you know? So that's why I was always observing and just looking out for that. But shout out to Royce, man. You was a dog.
Sure.
But other than basketball and football, did you ever play any other sports?
No. It's just basketball and football.
You never was like a T-ball or nothing?
I did have to play soccer 1 year because I was too young to play football. My dad made me play soccer, but that was about it.
Where are your parents from?
My dad's from Boston. My mother is from Wayne.
Okay, okay. So I was asking soccer, I mean like nationality.
Yeah, on a national level.
Because soccer is a Caribbean thing. And like I feel like all Caribbean kids play soccer at least once, you know, if they have the means to. But you ended up choosing basketball. So just real quick, just to get out the way, why did you choose basketball over football at the end of the day? Or what made you gravitate towards basketball more?
At the time, I felt like I was better at basketball and I had a better chance because when I was playing football, I was young. At the time, I was a freshman playing varsity, wide receiver. I wasn't getting the ball much, so I didn't feel like my talents were being used. But we did have other guys that were talented on the team. You, there was Derek Newcomb. Like we just had guys that seniority. Like that's just how it goes sometimes. So I just felt I had a better chance at pursuing my dream in basketball.
So that decision wasn't made until high school?
No, so I played football my freshman year, obviously.
Yep.
And then the summer going into my sophomore year was kind of when I chose, like, I decided, like, I'm just going to be straight basketball, and that's what I'm going to work on and focus on.
Okay. And you didn't play your sophomore year, did you? Because that was the year we needed you, man. Went 11-0, man. Went to the playoffs and lost that year.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
And one of us key contributors wasn't on the team, but we still went undefeated all the way up to the playoffs. So, and back then it was only one game. Now you guys have like 3, 4, 5 games before you get to Gillette. Back then it was just you play one game, and if you win that game, you go to Gillette. If you don't even get selected for that game, then you're not playing anymore football after Thanksgiving. So it was a different setup. I like the way they changed it a little bit. I was a little before my time, I guess.
I said it all the time, but that's another story.
Yeah, we were pioneers and trailblazers. You know, we had to set the tone for everybody because even sure. when you look at like my UMass career, like I went in there as their first year going FBS. So it's like the weight of that plus being a hometown guy. Yeah. Like there wasn't many guys from Massachusetts in that first class of FBS athletes, and out of those, there was. Like just the way that the position depth chart worked out, I was one of the few local guys that actually got a chance to play very early. And then, you know, they started actually incorporating a lot of freshmen in later on in the season when we was losing all the games, you know what I mean? So everyone ended up playing. But like those first couple of games, just being able in my first game to get off the bench in rhythm.
Yeah.
Like coach was like, all right, Curry, go. And send me on there as a local guy, I felt like I had to like stand up and stand out. So my question to you, being like a basketball guy, when you were going around in high school, you know, you decided to specialize, you went around on these AU teams, you doing all these circuits, like what was you thinking, like trying to differentiate yourself?
At the time it was just hoop, man. Like that was the only focus for me, was just to play basketball and try to just get as good as I can be. But I had a great experience traveling around with the Expressions basketball team. Had some great mentors in Todd Quarles and Ty Boswell, some great teammates in Doobie, Malik. I can go down the list, but we had a great team and we went through some stuff, but I think it all benefited us by getting to EYBL. I feel like we all worked hard, we did our part, and we got signed to Nike, we got an EYBL. And I feel like that's when it really took off for ourselves and in the program in a whole. So I think just that experience kind of like started it off for me.
And what would you say, like, before you even started thinking about college, like what was the furthest basketball got you to really give you that idea? Like, you know what, I can do this. I can take this the whole way.
Honestly, it was just a dream, man. It was just like, that's just what I want to do. Yeah, I at the time, I'm not knowing what I really have to do to get to that point. Like, you don't know. You don't see much coming from where we come from. And there's not many examples that were set at the time. So we don't know. It's just a thought and a dream. So I got to play in the Elite 75 in eighth grade. And that's kind of when I kind of stood out above a lot of the high school kids in my class.
Elite 75, what's that?
Elite 75, I don't even know if they still have it, but it was like a showcase where they invite about 75 of the local kids in Boston, and they just have games, workouts, practices, and just drills and stuff like that where you can work on your game and just showcase your skills. But there's AU coaches there, sometimes there's college coaches there, and kind of that's where I got into expressions at that point, and from there we just took off.
So it was like a ranking kind of system where you can go just be evaluated and kind of if you have a fit.
At the time, that was kind of like how they did the rankings. They would come and see the local kids. Oh, what does he do great? What does he do great? What does he do good? You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of how they would rank it at the time. But at the end of the day, it didn't mean anything.
It was just opinions of other grown men, right?
Exactly.
You hear it all the time about like, all the stuff going on with the youth sports, and whether it be football, basketball, things mm-hmm. being money grabs, people just doing it just because all the participation trophies, that kind of culture stuff going around. What does like real basketball training look like? So if there's a whole bunch of opportunities out there, like people can go play basketball for their whole lives and mm-hmm. still not develop into the best player they possibly could have become. So what does real basketball training look like when they get to that point?
As a high school player?
Yeah, we can say as a high school, like what should you be doing in high school? Definitely. But even like fundamentally going up to high school, what can you do that will actually, you know, qualify as training?
My personal opinion is I think that people should just, or kids in general, should just play as much basketball as they can, whether it's 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5, just play the game, learn how to play basketball. A lot of the times when we get trainers, or the kids get trainers at a young age, they're so focused on just drills. And if you watch them go play, that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like they're doing a drill during the game. And that's not real basketball, because there's only so many times in a game situation where you're going to have an isolation, and you got to learn how to move without the ball, how to be able to shoot, how to be able to pass. And I think those things develop from actually playing and being in game situations. So I think that's number one. Number two, if you do get a trainer, on top of the training, you still have to go play. But find you a good trainer, someone who knows what they're doing. They have a basketball background, preferably. And yeah, just go from there.
And it's funny how, like, that's so opposite of what I would expect like a professional to train like, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like as a professional, you would want to make sure you're focused on the skills, but it's because you already have that experience of playing. I've been playing basketball. Right. I've been in multiple of these situations. I know what it feels like to be hurt, to be up, to be down, to be tired, to be, you know, feel like I'm unguardable, or to feel like I can't guard somebody, you mm-hmm. know, like you've been in multiple situations and relied on your team or tried to take over the game.
For sure.
I feel like that's something that a lot of kids don't have. And a lot of people our age, we learn that outside on the park, at playground in school. Mm-hmm. There was one summer, me and my man, Pat, we went and just went on 2-on-2 and just walked around the town and just went to, like, every day we picked a different court and we went and just tried balled up there all day. Anybody that came through, we were like, yo, let's go.
Let's just play, man.
We had 2-on-2s going the whole week and just exactly. trying to say we ran the hoop by the skate park.
That's the idea. Yeah.
We ran the Queen Anne's hoop. We went to Lake Street. Y'all wasn't outside. He was probably over there on a hardwood court or something. We was over there thinking we was tough on the basketball court, but you was probably out there.
Getting into it, for sure.
But yeah, man, I do think that, you know, what you said is cool. Like, kids should be playing more basketball. And sure. I have a hard time now having kids. I know you have your son. Mm-hmm. Having my kids play in sports now, it just seems so backwards to me. Like, it's hard for me to sign my son up for soccer again or for a basketball camp or something, just because when I watch it, it just looks so chaotic. I want him to like be able to adapt and operate in that environment. But in my brain, I'm just like, yo, he's not really picking up anything or very minuscule things that he's actually getting from that environment at when he's 5 years old.
Yeah, I get it, but that has to be a starting point. And although we've been athletes and to some extent we can coach or teach, but unless it's getting done from somebody that has that background or somebody that's really invested in that, I think that's the best way to do it personally. Because even now, I could put my son through a whole, even we were joking around the other day, I posted, like, putting my son through the drills.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he wants to play football. He wants to play flag football. So I'm putting him in it. So I'm just putting him through the drills. Just what I know, just off of me playing from little league to high school and just seeing you and Sean and all of my friends that actually play football, just picking up small things that I know I can do with him. And you're just joking around and you don't know nothing about that. I don't, but I'm just trying to give him everything that I got until I could pass it off to somebody else who knows what to do.
No, facts. And that's the reason why I have a hard time signing them up with the organized stuff, is because we can do all that stuff in the driveway, dog. I don't got to go spend the bread for you to go over to the park up the street and mm-hmm. go stand there around while 20 kids try to kick a ball in a soccer goal.
Right.
Like, if that's the case, we'll go get 20 reps at the field right behind them every Saturday morning.
So, exactly.
And that's my mentality. And it's hard to make the time to do all that. So I understand why people schedule that.
But then again, it comes into playing. They can't do that by themselves.
Yeah.
They have to be with a team or organize where they can have like the game situation happen.
Okay. Well, speaking of teams, mm-hmm. let's talk about your high school experience, because you were on quite a few high school basketball teams, if I do recall.
Yeah.
You want to go through your high school journey from, you know, when you, like you said, you entered Weymouth as a freshman to mm-hmm. when you graduated,
right.
And some of the post high school, like college recruitment stuff.
Yeah. So I spent my first 2 years at Weymouth as a freshman and sophomore, and then I decided to go to prep school, went to New Hampton for a year, and then I transferred from there and did my last 2 years at Brewster Academy.
Can I pause? Like, why did you say you decided to go to New Hampton for mm-hmm. a year?
I didn't decide to go there for a year. I chose to go there. I was going to do the rest of my high school career there, but some things just didn't pan out.
Okay. And then after that, how did you get from there to Brewster?
Was there
a coach or?
Yes. So my AU coach plugged me in with the Brewster Academy head coach, Jason Smith. Shout out Jason Smith.
He's still coaching there now too, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. So that's how that happened. And when I got there, it was just a great connection between me and the coach. And then he's just one of the best recruiters in the nation in high school. So that was kind of easy, just putting guys together. And he made a great team, made it to the national championship my first year. Ended up losing, but we did win a NEPSAC championship. And then my second year, loaded with NBA guys, Jonah Bolden, Donovan Mitchell, Devontae Graham, myself, Isaac Copeland. So we had a great team that year. I think we only lost two games.
Man, those are some names you said. Yeah. That was all on one team?
My second year, yes. Jonah Bolden, Chris McCullough was on that team as well. Isaac Copeland, Donovan Mitchell, Devontae Graham, myself, and there were some other guys that also went Division I.
So you guys, in that year, that was the year you won the NEPSAC?
You won the NEPSAC, won the national championship.
You won the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that game. Like, what is that environment like on that level? When you're talking about a high school national schedule and being competitive, yeah. and then actually going through the playoffs and competing for the championship and actually winning, especially yeah. going there 2 years in a row, mm-hmm. losing one and coming back and winning the next year.
Right. I mean, after losing the first one, I definitely felt like there was a certain type of hunger that I felt. And just having that chip on my shoulder at the high school play, I always felt like I was overshadowed or didn't get as much recognition, but so be it. I feel like everything panned out how it was supposed to. And yeah, just the environment in the National Prep Championship is just, it's hunger. In that league, it's a lot of postgraduates, guys that are doing an extra year. So essentially, that type of basketball, these guys are supposed to be in college. So it's very high level in terms of high school. So I think it's very competitive, especially at the time. There was a lot of NBA guys, a lot of high level college guys. So just a very competitive, very competitive situation.
So you got some hardware though, right?
I did.
Yeah, nah, I wasn't gonna let you shy past that. So not only you got the rings, mm-hmm. any personal accolades from high school that stand out to you?
I mean, I got the MVP for the national championship.
Excuse me, I'm just laughing at how nonchalantly this man is. Oh yeah, dude, I got the MVP of the national championship. You know, just that game. I was the best in the title
personally,
game.
I was more focused on the ring because I had lost the year before. So I got a chance to go get it, but didn't take full advantage of it the first time.
So and you're a team guy, so that's a team thing. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I feel like when you're playing ball as a kid growing up in the like. You want to get better yourself, but like you said, if you don't have that community, that camaraderie, if there wasn't a bunch of kids playing ball in your neighborhood, maybe you was at the hoop working out every so often, but you was looking for that, I need a team, I need someone to actually go and run with me and then to showcase my skills in the appropriate setting.
You can go play basketball and shoot around by yourself. There's always a time and place for that, especially as a young kid where all you need is a ball and a hoop to go. But at the end of the day, you want to play. You want to get up and down with your friends. You just want to play, whether it's 2-on-2, 1-on-1, 3-on-3. You just want to go play. So I feel like that was the mentality back then, and I feel like that type of mentality needs to be brought back now.
Yeah. And, you know, when you say go and play, I feel like – you know, there's kids that are afraid of getting hurt. Mm-hmm. And it's like, environment does matter. You can't just go and play with everybody. No. But if you can go and find a good group of people or even like your team that you work with, you get them together and you guys play 3-on-3 mm-hmm. and you got 6 of the 10 guys on your travel team or, you know, your high school team. Actually, you get your coach to enroll you in the summer leagues and different tournaments on the off season. Like that stuff helps build camaraderie, helps you for sure. Like learn just basketball skills, playing against other towns that you don't usually play against.
Just playing with each other, learning each other's tendencies. So it's just a lot easier by the time it comes to the season. Like, you know, the little things about each other. And I swear it goes a long way. Even going out to eat with your teammates, just hanging out. Those little things will go a long way in the long run.
And one thing that like a personal skill that you can gain from that kind of, you know, activity as a high school is just networking. Networking is a skill that when you get older is something that you're going to need to rely on in order to actually make things happen. Like in order for me to be sitting here right now today, I had to know Justin. I had to know Jared. I had to have connection with these other athletes in some form of some capacity, like kept in contact with them because I'm no longer in their vicinity 24/7, right? Whether it was I was their high school coach or whatever, it's like I don't see them every day anymore, but we maintain that connection. Maybe some of them I actually have been training. Maybe some of them, you know what I mean? Like the people that I just have been talking to, my network have provided me so many opportunities. One of which I'm going to be coaching football and track and field up at Middlesex School.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I'm also going to be working in admission. So I think that's the more impactful part, though, about it is like I could have coached a lot of places in Middlesex. I did have a coaching connection, but being able to actually like put myself forward for my own like role and job in the school, especially doing something like working in admissions where I'm helping people get the opportunity to come to the school and benefit from what the school has to offer. Right. That's something that, you know, I take pride in that. Like I'm able to do that now. And then coaching football or track is just a bonus right. on top of that. Yeah. So I'm going to have fun. But speaking of coaches, all right, go back. Sorry. Your college recruitment. Mm-hmm. What were your options coming out of high school real quickly?
I had a lot of schools. I can almost every school in the country for the most part. But the five that I focused on at first were Oklahoma State, University of Rhode Island, Providence, Cincinnati, and I think Boston College. I think those were the five that I was focused on when I was coming out. I ended up committing to Oklahoma State, and then due to some other stuff, I had to decommit and actually go through the whole process again, visits, talking to coaches, all that recruitment stuff. So
you were able to get like all your officials back and stuff? Like you took official visits before you committed?
So like I only took one official visit my first time going through it.
Okay.
Yeah. I only took one official visit, and then, which was Oklahoma State, probably the reason why I committed. And then
definitely the reason why you commit. Those official visits intriguing. They're very convincing on the official visits. To say the least. If you haven't been on one, I would say just make sure you're going in there with an agenda of what you want to get out of it. And don't be distracted by all the hoopla. Man, there's a lot of stuff going around on a college campus, especially if it's your first time there, especially if dude just got out of practice and it's a Friday night and then the coach is asking them, hey, can you take this little high schooler around? Yeah. They're sitting there like, dog, all right, yeah, I got you, man. But where's the bread? And then let me see, where's this kid at? Yeah, I'm going to meet him and we're going to talk to his parents. But let's go, man. Let's go do something. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the right environment or you not focused going in, could be very distracting.
Just have the right idea behind it. Like, just go in knowing what you want. Knowing what you want to get out of it, because the coaches could sell you something and it will be completely different from when you get on campus, right? There's a lot of times we've done seen it. So just go in there knowing what you want, find your fit. Don't go anywhere just because of the name. Don't go anywhere because coach promised you something. Go where you fit. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what's important.
Yeah, I feel like that's hard. Though to see as a 17, 18, 19 year old
is
like, yeah, no, I could see myself having a role inside of this whole system. When you're not even thinking of basketball, you're thinking about, like you said, I'm just trying to hoop.
And I think there's a whole different aspect to it now from where we don't view it is the NIL. Like,
yes,
we don't have that. We didn't have that part of it to influence us. So I feel like
I said, are you generalizing it or you incorporated yourself? Cause you was on some national trips. Ain't no one ever slid you nothing like, yo,
no,
you leave Brewston, come over here.
I never got brought to anything like that. But we didn't have that part of the process. So I think when they're viewing it, they're like, they're also looking at numbers. We didn't have numbers to look at. We're solely looking at the name of the school and how we fit in the system, or if we fit in the system. There's a whole different aspect that they have to go through or view it from because of the money involved. And it's hard to turn down money as a 17, 18 year old.
Yeah, no, 100%. Especially like you said, come where we come from, everyone has a different dynamic, but there's a lot of things that go on in the everyday world that people are trying to run away from and using football or basketball as an escape. And having that out to go to college and being like, we made it, and getting paid now to do that, y'all never come back. Someone just told me the other day their sister is Michigan volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I remember who I was talking to. Michigan volleyball, she's getting like 30 racks a semester.
That's crazy.
Just for being a part of the Michigan Wolverines, because they revenue share with their teams now.
It's crazy.
So all the athletes get whatever. Yeah. So 30 bands a semester, bro. that's my salary, bro. That's what I work hard for every day. All the other stuff is extra. You know what I mean?
And it's crazy.
They're working too, but I didn't put my time in on the football field, and they cut me a retro check of like $2,500 for the settlement, the giant lawsuit settlement, class action lawsuit, whatever. I was like, all right. But like I said, before my time, man, that's... But I wanted to talk about in college, though, like before we get to like your whole experience of college, there's one person that has been real impactful in the basketball world that you had an opportunity to be right real close to. I want if you can talk a little bit about Coach Dan Hurley and what he's like and, you know, what he instilled, or if there's anything you still take away from what he taught you.
Yeah, just a great guy to be around. I don't think I could ask for a better college coach. Just very intense, very purposeful. And he moves with intent. He moves like he's trying to get something done every day. And he brings that out of people. And I think that was what was most important. He was able to get everybody on that wavelength where everybody's working hard. Everybody's on the same page. And I think that was the reason that we were able to get so good so fast, even with the ups and downs of injuries and transfers and all that type of stuff. But he knows how to keep his guys together. And as you can see, got back-to-back national championships at the highest level. So,
And you guys had some hoopers on your squad throughout your years over there at URI. A lot of y'all ended up getting opportunities to play professional level, right. And some still playing ball, mm-hmm. right? So it's a testament to like what you're able to do, to like when you can find success even when you're not where you're supposed to be, quote unquote, right? Because like he goes to UConn where maybe just because of a name and a history, he can land some of the larger recruits and have more of a infrastructure behind it,
for sure.
And go and turn that into a national program. But he can also be at URI in his younger years and take a program that's not supposed to be relevant, go and be Oklahoma
or hasn't been relevant in the past 18 years.
You know? And y'all go cutting nets off and dancing, mm-hmm. and beating some teams that were projected to go far or being up there against some of the teams that are projected to go to win it in the second, third round of the tournament. Yeah. So it's like, that's an opportunity. Like just even being able to drive out there spontaneously. We was watching like, yo, if they win this game, we in the car tonight. We're sitting there staring at the TV like, and y'all won. Me and Alex look at each other like, yeah, we go. We're like, wait, how we gonna do this though? We ain't got no car right now. Nowhere to stay, but we figured it out. We came, pulled up, saw you, man. It was a whole good time. Went down to DC. Dope. We saw you guys in, I think you're in Pennsylvania too, at some point. Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, it was just awesome, like following you around too with your career. And it's like, because by that time, I had already lost hope in my NFL career. I was like, yuck, I'm not even trying to play this money game anymore where, you know, you're trying to prove your worth to people. That's what got old to me. Because I was always an underdog, but I always was given fair opportunity to present myself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Just that's how life was handed to me. Mm-hmm. But once I got to the league, they was like, nah, these opportunities are limited. We ain't going to just hand them out. So you had to have representation. Fact. You had to have film people behind you. So it was like, that was just too much for me to juggle at the time. And there was a lot of stuff going on in my life too. So I was just having fun and I was got to see you, and I'm glad that you actually got to go to the pinnacle. But before we talk about your pro career, we're going to take a break and do our this or that segment. But before that, I just wanted to ask, how would you describe your overall experience as a college basketball player?
Amazing. I think everybody should experience it for at least a year, if not two, three or four. But yeah, just soak it all in and take advantage of the experiences and the friends that you meet, because those might be some of the friends that you have for the rest of your life, man. But other than that, yeah, just go enjoy it. Still keep the main thing the main thing. If you're going in there for a sport, you're going in there for a certain major, whatever it is, keep the main thing the main thing. Don't get off track because of this partying. There's a lot of distractions, but as long as you focused and you're doing what you're supposed to do, it'd be a good experience.
Yeah, keep the main thing the main thing. That's mm-hmm. owed to having a plan when you go in. If you don't have a plan going in, you're gonna be lost. And I was lost. It's like looking back, I was lost, man. And it's not like I had zero guidance. I had a little bit of guidance, but it wasn't experienced guidance. Like I wasn't talking to people who's been there before. It was all people that I just looked up to or that were older than me. Mm-hmm. But having an opportunity like this where you can sit down and listen to someone who's been in those places where you want to go, I think it's something that if you're able to learn from it, you can run that up to the ceiling. But we're going to pause right here and we're going to take our time for our segment called This or That. And this is where I give my guest here, Jared, we're going to give him two scenarios. He can either choose this or that. Yeah, a little fun sometimes, I like to think. I just try to use some my imagination to see, you know, what you would actually do based off of our based off of our conversation. So, first one, this is talking about the future. So, would you prefer to have a career, long-term career, as a legendary high school coach? Because I know you coach in high school right now. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about that too much. But would you rather have a career as a legendary high school coach, whether like a varsity coach, whether it be a prep school or public school, mm-hmm. or a long career in the NBA as a skills trainer?
A long career in the NBA as a skills trainer.
Why?
Why? I feel like dealing on the professional level, you have to keep it basketball. Like, it's basketball all the time. As a high school coach, you're dealing with personalities, you're dealing with keeping kids in school, keeping kids out of trouble in the street, making sure that they're fed, making sure that this. It's a lot going on as a high school coach versus being in the NBA where it's strictly basketball and you know what you're getting. The pros coming in every day, they know what they're supposed to do, and they just get the work done and get to it.
I understand that, but then that it's business up there too, and they're going to start, you know, cutting some of the players that you were developing a plan with and actually investing your time in, and the next thing you know, they're not on the team anymore.
You still keep those relationships though.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. So you would have a long career as an NBA skills trainer. So what would be like your main skill that you would say you specialize in?
I think ball handling, number one. As a guard, you got to be able to handle the rock. That's just most important.
So that's your foundation in all your trainings now?
I mean, yes. You start every workout off with ball handling, number one. And then just shooting fundamentals, being able to shoot. If you can shoot and get to where you got to get to on the floor, being able to handle the ball, you're valuable in some way.
In a lot of ways. That's that's basketball. Right. So as a kid, I couldn't really dribble until I got to like middle school. And then once I got to middle school, I started dribbling. I started going right to the rack. And that's what got my explosiveness.
Yeah, athletic.
And I just started just going straight to the hoop, trying to tap the backboard. But then when everyone else started like catching up, like size-wise, I wasn't really the fastest guy. Everyone's around the same size.
Yeah.
I started to learn how to shoot. So middle school, I was just a shooter. And I would be able to dribble, get to my spot, pull up. Mm-hmm. And I used to look at like T-Mac as like my guys who just get there and get in the stance, triple threat, jab step, and then just go wherever he wanted to go. He'd get you off balance and go and make a move and try to have an idea of what I wanted to do in my head. So that's how I played basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time I got to high school, when you were there and stuff, like that was all the dribbling and stuff was for y'all. And I lost that. I lost dribbling, lost shooting because I was a role player.
Mm-hmm.
So like when we talked about the training, like I feel like, you know, ball handling, shooting skills, just getting to work in specific spots and specific movements is going to definitely help you maintain your game. And that's something that I didn't do in basketball, but I did it elsewhere. So I don't know why I never clicked in my head like, hey, maybe I should work on it.
It's a lot to do everything for every sport.
Yeah, 100%. All right, next one, no, this or that. You're going to take a buzzer beater half court shot to go into overtime. Would you rather that? Have the ball coming up and you have 2 seconds you got to pull from half court.
I let it go ahead half court.
Or
just to go to overtime.
Just to go to overtime.
Okay.
Or get fouled on a three for the win and have to make 3 clutch free throws.
I'm going for the win.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I'm going for the win.
So you're gonna try to hit those free throws?
Yeah.
Nah. I bet on me. I actually just saw a video someone on in a men's league just did that. Saying he went and shot from the wing, like fading away, got fouled.
And
you couldn't really see it on thing.
But he missed all three?
Nah, he made all three and they won, but then they captioned and say he dropped 41 too. I'm like, dang. He was cooking the whole game, running up and still hit the last
41's tough.
I was like, that's poise. That's
tough. Yeah, I got to go for the win though.
All right, so the last one, this or that, man. This is for Lil Jared. So would you rather this or that, Lil Jared playing only football in high school, but he earns multiple scholarships?
Right.
Or he just decides once he gets to high school, oh, I'm never going to play sports again. But he can go to any college he wants. I know it's not your decision.
I know,
but
that's what I was about to say. It's not my choice.
Ideally, if you had to pick a future.
So he plays strictly football and gets
college opportunities.
College opportunities.
Or he decides, I'm not going to play any nothing. Sports
and can still go to any college he wants.
Yep.
I would want him to play football just to play a sport. I mean, that's just my opinion. But ultimately, it's a win-win. He's still going to college. He's still doing what he wants to do.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to put no negatives in there for little Jared. But I just wanted to see, like, because people always ask me, like, are you going to push your kids to play a specific sport? And I'm like,
no.
If they don't want to play sports,
like, he wants to play basketball, but he really just leans towards football and soccer. So I'm just like, go ahead.
But it's the fact that he has a ball in his hand, or there's a ball. But
like, if he's around me at the court or have the basketball, he'll do his thing with it. But he's like, I want to play football. I want to play football.
I think that's proximity, though, just like being close to that. Because I can imagine, like, I know my dad was always around sports, and whenever I would go over there to see him or go to my grandmother's house, my older brother was trying to play sports because he was coming up a little bit before me, right?
Yeah.
So he was trying to do all the leagues. I live right across the street. My first house in Roxbury was right across the street from that Washington Street course right there.
Okay.
So there was always mad people over there, crowds, everything going on over there. So that was just like, I always gravitate towards basketball. And even when we didn't even have a hoop, we were shooting on the street sign. Like, yeah. I had basketball was a thing because it was easy.
It's a lot easier to go play basketball by yourself versus football, another sport. You know what I'm saying?
But I got an opportunity to go to in the MECO program just because I had a family member that worked in there. So they, I don't know what strings they pulled or whatever, or if that was a rule, like, you know, if your kin is in the, you can get your kin in, whatever.
Whatever it is.
But I got a chance to go to MECO first grade, and just being out, I was out in Wellesley.
Okay.
So I was living in the city, waking up at 4:30 in the morning, taking that bus ride all the way out there, Wellesley, all the way to fourth grade. And, I got to like see kids playing hockey, and they all had the soccer teams in the spring and the fall. And I'm like, this is 7, 6 year old kids back in early 2001.
Right.
When I was in graduate first grade or promoted out of first grade, 2001. Mm-hmm. And like, that's where I first like played baseball, played soccer. My first organized basketball team was over there. Other than that, I was just shooting on the fence post, and you know what I mean? And like, and walking a quarter mile to the nearest basketball hoop. And it was like, that just kind of exposure just made me always want to just play as many sports as possible. So by the time I got to high school, like playing three sports was natural to me. And I was trying to figure out how I could play a fourth, you know, and it just wasn't time in the high school season.
For sure.
But after all of that, man, you ended up going to the pros. So, I wanted to ask, what was the biggest adjustment, like going to the pros from college and like post? I have a hard time calling it post career because I don't know if you done balling up for real. But like as of now, like transitioning to doing other things and expanding your presence. So like just what adjustments so have you made after college?
Adjustments like, going into being a professional.
Yeah.
As far as I'm gonna start outside on the court. The speed, the strength, the conditioning, the time spent doing it. Because as a college athlete, there's such a tight schedule that you're following. And yes, you have your time to get your extra work, but it's practice, weights, study hall. You got this, like, it's chopped up into blocks. And as a pro, you have 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever it is. That's your block for the day that you're working. Everything else is free time. You know what I'm saying? So I think that was the biggest adjustment, finding something to do with my time.
But and it's not saying, like, you can't work out, though, in your time. Nah, it's just how you want to spend your time.
Yeah, it's how you want to spend your time. You can go back. Obviously, you go back in the gym, get your extra work in, but There's a lot of free time. But as far as on the court, I think my biggest adjustment was adjusting to the speed of the game, Understanding how to, because it's a different game, college is a completely different game from any professional game.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? So learning how to play that game, move the different movements, the terminology is different. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of intricate things that go into it in the transition.
Yeah, so I shout out to Coach E, man, but I used to have a D coordinator who, he was an old school dude, like, Big Ten football back in the day. He coached with Saban at LSU. But he used to say that, like, he was there my freshman year at UMass, and he used to say, the game's moving too fast for you guys. It's too fast. You're watching like this. You got to see it like this. And he used to do that, yo. He's this old Italian dude. I used to sit there, and I used to just try not to laugh in the meetings, but he was dead serious, bro. He's like, you like this.
You know what he means, though?
See it like this. And I didn't for the longest time. I was just out there just trying to figure out the playbook, run plays. I'm like, yo, this dude's bugging. Like, yes, they're fast, but I'm running. Like, you want me to run faster? Okay. But he just means you just gotta know it through and through, right? By the time,
yeah, you gotta see it before it happens.
By the time, bro, I got to like the end of my college career, like I was the best football player I've ever been, and I felt like, you know, like even to this day, like I feel like my career was cut short because I didn't believe that I was as good as I was in my brain, and I knew so much, like, football wise and how to actually put myself in the right spots, how to play, how to give myself the advantage in almost any situation, how to recognize things, tendencies in the offense.
Right.
Like, I studied football for 4 years where I was actually like learning and immersing myself in it more so than I have before. I was playing off of the instinct. So just that time that I put into it just helped me become that much of a better player.
Doing all of that, three and a half years leading up to your senior year, it ended up just becoming natural, bro. And I felt the same way going into my senior year. I was in the best shape I ever been. I was moving like a machine, I felt. You know what I'm saying? So it's a great feeling knowing that you, everything that you done did and put into this is working out in your favor.
And there was, for me, it was like, there was a, I got hurt my true senior year. And that was when I don't know if I told this story on the podcast before, but this is when, like, I felt like I was to the league, bro. When I say, like, nothing was stopping me that year, nothing was stopping me until I got stopped. Literally, someone literally stopped me, bro. Like, tore my whole LCL, my hamstring, busted up my knee on the last play, in the last 30 seconds of the game, in the second game of the season. And I already had 21 tackles and one pick in two games.
Dog.
And,
talk about.
And I was ready to, like, I was trying to go on a coast. That was my eighth interception in college.
Mm-hmm.
And that was within the first two games of my senior year. So I was ready to go and try to get five that year alone, because I only had, the most I ever had was two.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, let me go get five this year. And I was on a thing where, as a safety, but I also wanted to lead the team in tackles over the linebackers. My dog, Jovan. Shout out Jovan, dog. He's still balling in the CFL. He just had his 100th game in the CFL, man. Shout out Jovan. But I wanted to beat him in tackles every game. And, like, that was just the mentality I had. And, and it was like, I didn't know that I was going to get hurt, but I lost the vision. And I lost pushing forward for everything. So that was what really, like, I didn't believe I was ready. But putting in that time, putting in the energy, really listening to everybody, adjusting, taking care of yourself in the meantime when you do have the free time.
Yes.
Like, being able to hold yourself accountable, like all the stuff you said that you adjusted, you have to adjust to when you go to the professional level. I feel like that's stuff that I'm trying to get to these kids to realize now. So my last question for you, dog, would be, what advice would you give to these high school athletes that are looking to, like, play college basketball or go beyond or just play sports at the next level in general?
Just keep your head down and work, man. That's the most important thing. Just like I said before, to keep the main thing. You know what you want to do. If it's basketball, you know you got to have a schedule broken down. When you're working out, also watching what you eat. I think nutrition is a big thing. Taking care of your body, rehab and recovery. yeah, and just always finding different ways to work on your craft, perfect it, and putting that time in. I mean, time in is probably what separates everybody. If you put that time in, it's going to show.
You hear that? So y'all got to put that time in. Y'all got to put the work in. Y'all got to just want it and go out there, play ball, get your kids out there early, have them playing ball, have mm-hmm. them having fun, building that camaraderie. But at some point, you got to focus on the skills and lock in and really figure out and draft a plan for what you want your future to look like, or what you want your child's future to look like, whoever, whatever it is that you're trying to do. But Jared, man, I appreciate you pulling up. I know we threw this together kind of in a week or so. So I appreciate your flexibility.
Sure, appreciate you for having me.
But I learned a little bit about you, man. I think our viewers can get some real information from what you were feeding back. Like, you've been in some places that a lot of people, like I said, would only dream of being. Mm. And the fact that, you know, you're still sitting here humbly saying, you know, I was the MVP of that game or whatever. And it's like, it wasn't about that.
No.
And it wasn't about the recognition at the time. It was just about the impact you could have. And I mean, there's so much more that we all wish we could do, but I think that you're just getting started on your journey, bro. So
for sure, man.
I wish you the best of luck.
Same to you.
Anything you want to say to the camera real quick?
No, I ain't got nothing.
All right, man. Well, this is Talk That Talk. I'm Coach KB here with Jared Terrell. Man, we'll catch you next time. Got a couple more episodes in this series. So make sure y'all tune in again, like, share, subscribe, and y'all be safe, man. I'll see y'all. Peace.